Good morning, everyone. I welcome you this morning to another exciting time in the Holy Ghost as we continue in our series, Faith in Action Ministry. Suffice to say at this time that though the scourge of coronavirus and other plagues are ravaging the whole globe right now, but our trust remains in our ever-living Father who is able to keep us safe. And we know that none of these diseases shall come near our dwelling place. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we considered five reasons why we should continue to do the work. The first was that we are imitators of Christ. He is our forerunner. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and we follow in his steps in all things. The second point was that we are co-partners with God. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says that as God's co-laborers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. The third point was that the harvest is ripe and we have been called to reap wages unto eternal life. The fourth point was that it's a commandment. Commandments are meant to be kept and not broken. They are meant to be obeyed and not broken. And the last point was that a reward awaits us as we continually give ourselves over to these things. Hallelujah. The highlight for me was the fact that God could have used other means to accomplish his work of saving souls on earth. But he chose us. He chose us despite our weaknesses, our inconsistencies, our shortcomings, our frailties. Up till now, he hasn't raised stones to do the work. He hasn't used angels. Neither has he used signs in the clouds. Rather, he has entrusted his work into our hands. He has empowered us and enabled us to fulfill our role in all of this. The whole purpose is that our lives might have a significant relevance with him. What do I see in all of this? I see his love lavished on us without borders. I see his plan from the foundation of the world that we should be partakers of his glory and we should be co-heirs with Christ Jesus in all things. We'll go ahead this morning to look at the topic, Take Up Your Cross, Making Disciples. Last week we started off looking at making disciples, so this week we'll look at how to take up our cross. Our text will be taken from the book of Matthew 16, 21 to 24. Let us read. From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou severest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Let us pray. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you, Father, for your presence in our midst. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for impact upon lives. We thank you, Father, for impact even upon bodies this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father, for men are encouraged again about the work, O God. We love and appreciate you that we are not just hearers alone deceiving ourselves, but we are doers of your word. We give you all the glory and honor, O Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. What does it mean to take up our cross? In understanding what this means, it will be good to also have an understanding of the significance of the cross. are possibly not described to us what the cross looks like this morning, but I'll make some points worthy of note about the cross. The cross has been used both as a religious symbol and as an ornament over the centuries. Throughout the world, people universally regard the cross as the symbol of Christianity. In fact, churches have crosses atop their steeples on their walls, windows and doors, and everywhere visible. People wear crosses on necklaces, as bracelets, as rings, as pendants, and as items of clothing. The other thing I can say about the cross is that people usually cross themselves, touching their foreheads and shoulders to form a symbolic cross sign, possibly for general protection, to confer blessings upon themselves, or to carry out religious rites. In all of this, can we really say that the sign of the cross is really an emblem of true Christianity? I'm not sure. Clearly, long before the coming of Christ Jesus, pagans have used the cross as a religious symbol. I know as time goes on, we'll be able to dwell more on this, possibly in our Bible study. But suffice me to say this morning that the death of Christ Jesus conferred a new significance on this figure called the cross. But nowhere in scriptures have we been instructed to use the cross as a medium of worship to God. Christians are rather encouraged to focus on God directly. We do not have any other medium that we know of in scriptures. There is only one that we know, and that is Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5 says that, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." Hallelujah. The word that describes the cross in the Greek is the word staros, S-T-A-U-R-O-U-S. It means a designated, pointed, vertical wooden stake, firmly fixed in the ground. It could also mean a tree or a pole. The cross was emblematic of a death died under the greatest guilt and the deepest curse. The cross was the instrument of torture, the most cruel punishment at that time. The cross was for the worst criminals that you could ever think about. Authors of insurrection, murderers, enemies of the state, robbers, the basest slaves. Most of the time, the criminal was first of all stripped naked and bound to an upright stick, where you'll be beaten with an implement called the flagellum. It is also called the whip. It had both leather and pieces of iron, which can penetrate not just the skin but also the bones. After this scourging, the criminal is reclothed and made to carry this stick to the place of execution, if he is still able to do that. Otherwise, some other people carry on his behalf, as seen in the case of Jesus. The place of execution is where he will be nailed to the cross and he will be left to die. Jesus died in this most gruesome way to deliver us from the guilt of sin. Permit me to read this morning from the book of Isaiah. I'll first of all read from Isaiah 52, 14b. He said his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 53 from verse 4, "Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Hallelujah. What did the cross mean to Jesus? I'll summarize this in 4 points. The cross was a symbol of opposition. The cross was the point where every truth that Jesus has expressed to the people were opposed. They wanted him dead. Everything was blasphemous to them. They wanted him executed at all costs. In fact, they preferred that a sworn enemy of the state should be released to them instead of Jesus. They wanted him dead, just the way criminals are being executed, even though he was not a criminal. The cross at that point can be compared to what we call the firing squad today, or even an electric chair. Yet they wanted him dead at all costs. The cross also meant to Jesus a symbol of shame. Don't forget, like I said earlier, that it was a shameful journey all the way. You are being stripped naked, you are being beaten, you are scorched, you are made to carry that cross naked for about 1 mile or more. Things are thrown at you, insults are hurled at you, people spit on you, and many other disgusting things were done. It was a shameful journey all the way. Most of all, this execution is usually done at a public highway where everyone passing by will see, and you will actually become, as it is, a figure of shame. For Jesus, his execution was done at Golgotha. Golgotha was a hill that could not be hidden at that time. So everyone passing by saw him in that shameful state.